Welcome to the Minor League Radio Podcast, your source for what to think. From politics to pro wrestling, pop culture to progressive metal, confusing rhetoric, chronic masturbation, religion, rashes in inconvenient places, and of course the gold standard in pornography criticism. Gather around now your digital player of choice and enjoy the musings of your perpetually confused host. Ladies and gentlemen, Jim Gardner.
I bid you greetings, noble citizens. It is I, Jim Gardner, at the helm of the Minor League Radio juggernaut once again for another half hour of obfuscation and vile innuendo. As always, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes or go to minorleagueradio.com and listen. You know, it's weird how time can get away from you. I had to take some time off from the podcast. Basically, things just got really busy at work and at home. But holy shit, it's been over a month since I've graced the digital world with another of my craptacular podcasts. Well, listen and rejoice, for I am back slinging mud and feces at whom I will. Try to be a bit more consistent with said podcast from here on out.
Uno, due, tre, quattro, cinque, sei, sette, otto, nove, dieci.
The Minor League Radio Podcast is an equal opportunity annoyer.
Well, there's a fuckload to talk about. The biggie for today has got to be Obamacare. It's being heard at the Supreme Court. Well, they were debating a technicality yesterday and today, but the crux of what's going on is whether or not Obamacare violates the Commerce Clause of the Constitution by forcing people to buy some sort of health insurance. Now, not surprisingly, I fall on the side of conservatives on this one. While I really believe that in a country this affluent, there does need to be some provision for the poor to access the same level of health care that everybody else can, forcing people to buy something is a pretty big infringement on freedom. You may retort that we've already forced people to buy car insurance, but I don't agree with that either. I don't think they're the same thing. I would say that buying car insurance is a defense against harm that you may do to others, whereas health insurance is something you buy for yourself. There is a difference. You know, one of my favorite columnists and thinkers is Mr. Charles Krauthammer. He's a conservative, but he won a Pulitzer Prize for his writing back in the 80s, back when it meant something to win a Pulitzer. So he's no bomb thrower. Rather, he's among one of the most thoughtful of conservatives, and he has this to say about the health care bill, his column from the Washington Post. Obamacare dominated the 2010 midterms, driving its Democratic authors to a historic electoral shellacking. But since then, the issue has slipped quietly underground. Now it's back, summoned to the national stage by the confluence of three disparate events: the release of a new Congressional Budget Office cost estimate, the approach of Supreme Court hearings and the law on the law's constitutionality, rather, and the issuance of a compulsory contraception mandate. Addressing cost, Obamacare was carefully constructed to manipulate the standard 10-year cost projections of the CBO, Congressional Budget Office. Because benefits would not fully kick in for 4 years, President Obama could trumpet a 10-year gross cost of less than $1 trillion, $938 billion to be exact. But now that the near costless years 2010 and 2011 have elapsed, the true 10-year price tag comes into focus. From the years 2013 through 2022, the CBO reports the costs of Obamacare come to $1.76 trillion, almost twice the phony original number. And it gets worse. Annual gross costs after 2021 are more than a quarter of a trillion every year until the end of time. That for a new entitlement in a country already drowning in $16 trillion of debt. Addressing constitutionality, beginning on Monday, this column was written a week ago, so he's talking about yesterday, the Supreme Court will hear challenges to the law. The American people, by an astonishing two-thirds majority, want the law and or the individual mandate tossed out by the court. In practice, however, questions this momentous are generally decided 5-4, i.e. they depend on whatever side of the bed Justice Anthony Kennedy gets out of in the morning. Ultimately, the question will hinge on whether the Commerce Clause has any limits. If the federal government can compel a private citizen under threat of a federally imposed penalty to engage in a private contract with a private entity, buying health insurance, is there anything the federal government cannot compel the citizen to do? If Obamacare is upheld, it fundamentally changes the nature of the American social contract. It means the effective end of a government of enumerated powers, i.e. finite delineated powers beyond which the government may not go, beyond which lies the free realm of the people and their voluntary institutions. The new post-Obamacare dispensation is a central government of unlimited power from which the citizen and civil society struggle to carve out and maintain spheres of autonomy. Figure becomes ground, ground becomes figure. The stakes could not be higher. And addressing coerciveness, serendipitously, the recently issued regulation on contraceptive coverage has allowed us to see exactly how this new power works. All institutions, excepting only churches but not accepting church-run charities and hospitals, etc., will be required to offer health care that must include free contraception, sterilization, and drugs that cause abortion. Consider the cascade of arbitrary bureaucratic decisions that resulted in this edict. 1. Contraception, sterilization, and abortion pills are classified as medical prevention. On whose authority? The Secretary of Health and Human Services, invoking the Institute of Medicine. But surely categorizing pregnancy as a disease equivalent is a value decision disguised as science. If contraception is prevention, what are fertility clinics? Disease inducers? And if contraception is prevention because it lessens morbidity and saves money, by that logic, mass sterilization would be the greatest boon to public health since the pasteurization of milk. Number 2. This type of prevention is free. No copay. Why? Is contraception morally superior to or more socially vital than, and thus more of a quote right than, say, penicillin for a child with pneumonia? Number 3. Religious exemptions to this edict extend only to churches, places where the faithful worship God, and not to church-run hospitals and charities, places where the faithful do God's work. Maybe slightly more important. Who promulgated this definition, so stunningly ignorant of the very idea of religious vocation? The Almighty Health and Human Services Secretary. Today it's the Catholic Church whose free exercise powers are under assault from this cascade of dictates sanctioned by, and indeed required by, Obamacare. Tomorrow, it'll be the turn of other institutions of civil society that dare stand between the unfettered state and atomized citizens. Rarely has one law so exemplified the worst of the Leviathan state. Grotesque costs, questionable constitutionality, and arbitrary bureaucratic coerciveness. Little wonder the president barely mentioned it in his latest State of the Union address. He wants to be reelected. He'd rather talk about other things. But there's no escaping it now. Oral arguments began on Monday at 10 a.m. I guess we'll see how it plays out. Okay, so the thing that really gets my goat is that just because conservatives tend to not like Obamacare, they're cast as unfeeling assholes, which is what the left always does when people don't agree with their way of solving a problem. I don't claim to have the answer to the problem of making sure everyone can get health care, but it seems to me that the problem is one of cost. Goods and services in the healthcare field just cost too goddamn much. The solution to this is not to introduce a perceived bottomless pit of money into the equation. If I'm selling a candy bar and I know that every person who might want to buy my candy has thousands of dollars in their pockets, I'm not going to charge $1 for the candy. I'm going to charge $10, $20, because I know the people can afford to pay it. It's simple economics, people. If market forces are introduced, then I have to do something that makes my candy bar a better value than others selling candy bars by either charging less, showing that my candy bar is of higher quality than everybody else's, or, as so often happens in a free market, both. And that's how quality goes up and cost goes down. Happens all the time. If I'm a hospital and I know that the customer isn't paying for the cost of their treatment and an insurance company or the government is, well, why shouldn't I charge $20 for an aspirin or $200 for an x-ray? After all, I may want to help people, but I also need to make money doing it. And in fact, usually making money is more important. And there's nothing wrong with that, but it gets a little murky there. Now, I realize that a free market model has its issues as well, but this is only a half-hour show, and, well, I'm talking out of my ass half the time. Anyway, so suffice it to say that Obama's a non-citizen Muslim communist who wants us all hand-digging turnips out of our solar-powered dirt farms or herding yaks. Seriously.
Stupid. A person below normal intelligence.
The Minor League Radio Podcast.
And the podcast continues with the other big debate I want to address. Sandra Fluck wants to fuck on our dime. Okay, I don't know if her name really rhymes with fuck, but the joke just doesn't work unless I do it that way. Hmm? You know, one thing that's interesting is that her name is spelled Fluke, F-L-U-K-E, but every time Fox News talks about her, they pronounce it Fluck, which rhymes with fuck. Coincidence? I don't know. But on the other hand, I haven't heard anybody call him on it, so maybe that's just the kind of trendsetter that I am. Yes, sir. Well, anyway, Rush Limbaugh's going down the tubes fast because he hates women, calls them sluts and all kinds of other crap. Just more proof positive that the right in America hates women and would love nothing better than to impose a Taliban-like existence for the fair sex. Me too. I hates me some women. Can't stand them with their awesome boobs and fun booties. I mean, how can I as a man possibly be expected to keep my mind on more elevated subjects with these females running around with their clothes and their ankles and shoulders just out there for any man to see? No wonder there's rape. Men can't be expected to control themselves with these females just walking around, buying groceries and getting gas, reading books, voting. No wonder I walk around with a constant hard-on. Yep, those women gots to go. We gotta find some other way to make babies. I mean, I haven't liked women from the jump. I popped out of my mother's womb and they put me in her arms and I looked up and saw she was a woman. Spat up right on her.
Oh, God.
Call me daddy.
Anyway, the Sandra fluke, whatever controversy. So many ways to go at this. I could probably do an hour on this alone. In case you don't know, Sandra Fluke is a law student at Georgetown University Law School who recently testified before Congress. This is from Wikipedia. Speaking before the House Democratic Steering and Policy Committee, Fluke argued in favor of requiring all private insurance plans to cover contraception coverage, even religious institutions. She said that over 3 years as a law student, birth control could cost $3,000 in some cases. Huh? Really? But here's where you kind of have to pay attention. What she was implying was that the cost of $3,000 was over 3 years. So that's like, yeah, 20 months or something like that. So when you divide it out, it ends up being about $88 a month, roughly, which still seems high to me, considering, you know, from what I understand, you can go down to Walmart Pharmacy right now and get BCs for $9 every month. So I don't know. Anyway, she continued that the lack of contraception coverage in the university insurance plans paid for by students and completely unsubsidized by the university would induce how many low-income students go without contraception, and that women's free health clinics cannot meet the need. Now, I happened to be listening to Rush Limbaugh on the day he went off on this, and he was making the greater point that the left, whenever any segment of society has any problem, regardless of significance and regardless of the continuing exponential rise of the nation's debt, expects the government to spend taxpayer money to solve the problem. He has been making this point for years, and to my ears, he was clearly frustrated, and he spoke badly, comparing Fluke to a slut and a prostitute, wanting her sex life subsidized and putting it on YouTube. I don't see what's wrong with that. I don't know. Anyway, he shouldn't have said it, period. He just shouldn't have said it. He doesn't know Fluke, has no right to pass judgment on her like that. But he did apologize, and it seemed heartfelt to me. Others disagree. It's basically, whatever. If you like Rush, you accepted it. If you don't like Rush, you didn't, okay? The thing that I want to say is that sometimes you don't get things exactly your way in life. We are trillions of dollars in debt. Trillions. There is not enough money for everybody to get exactly what they want. If for some bizarre reason you can't afford your birth control, then make your partner get some rubbers. Or quit fucking. You know how many times I've had to turn down sex because I didn't have a rubber and I wasn't confident of my prospective partner's ability to handle it? Millions! I would have put both Wilt Chamberlain and Gene Simmons to shame if I only had a rubber. All right, that's not true. 25 years or so of sexual maturity, I think it's happened twice. But you get my point. The other thing I want to address is the fact that Georgetown is a Catholic institution. We have freedom of religion in this country. Religious institutions overwhelmingly should get to make their own rules and set their own standards. If you don't like the rules of whatever situation you find yourself in, either suck it up and deal, or find a situation that is a better fit for you. Now, for example, if Georgetown had said that because of our religious standards, Mexicans can't attend our college, well, I'd have a problem with that. But birth control ain't racial discrimination, so get over yourselves, ladies. Either find affordable BCs, make your man wear a rubber, or don't fuck.
Well, baby, me so horny. Me so horny. Me love you long time. You pony?
Bitch, I'll fuck your ass up.
Now, before you get off on Jim's a misogynist and all this, hear me out. Didn't let me finish. Here's the other angle. This whole debate totally lets men off the hook. Now, I love sex. I love to joke about sex. I love to talk about sex and masturbation and blowjobs and ass play and the deep thrust versus shallow pumping and bukkake parties and triple penetration and rim jobs and BDSM, two girls, one cup, and... Well, anyway.
It's not about fucking and balls and pussy. It's about love. It's about people. It's about connection.
It's all about connections.
It's such about cock and ass and tits and butthole pleasures.
It's not about butthole pleasures at all.
It's not about this rusty trombone and dirty Sanchez.
Please stop.
And the Cincinnati bow tie.
Moosh.
And the pussy juice cocktail. And the shit stained balls.
Moosh, just please stop.
Just because I talk about these things doesn't mean I actually do them. The whole contraception debate puts the onus of responsibility on the female, when it should probably be a little more balanced than that. For more than 20 years now, well over 20 years, society has increasingly told women that they can behave with the same sexual abandon that men have engaged in, and told males that the definition of a man has more to do with sexual conquest than being serious and responsible contributors to society. I think it's time for the message to get out that it is possible for a male to exercise some self-control. You can keep your cock in your pants. You don't have to fuck every woman that will spread for you.
Your days of finger-banging old Mary Jane Rottencrotch through her pretty pink panties are over!
Men have been fighting their nature since the dawn of time. For the most part, we men want to fuck everybody, all the time. If we had our druthers, we wouldn't be bothered by trifling things like jobs and food. If we could have our dicks in something 24/7, like I said... Ladies, if you see a man doing something productive with his time, walk up and thank him, because believe me, he'd rather have his dick in his hand or be fucking something. Historically, it's been easier for men to control their sexual natures because women have assisted them by not behaving like strippers and whores all the time. Now, don't freak out. Women are sexual beings as well, and they have every right to express that sexuality without some dude coming up and humping their leg every time they do it. I get that. All I'm saying is that women used to be more circumspect about their sexuality, and that was not necessarily a bad thing. Men are turned on by what they see. We're visual creatures. We see the hoagie sandwich, we want the hoagie sandwich. We see the gorgeous Hawaiian Tropic bikini model, we want the gorgeous Hawaiian Tropic bikini model. Hell, we see the beaten down 55-year-old waitress with leathery skin and no self-esteem, and we want the 55-year-old... Well, wait, that one's just mine. So women were taught throughout history to be a little more modest in their presentation, and men were taught that humping everything that moves is not the measure of a man. Now I've gone sufficiently far off on a tangent that I've completely forgotten what my original point was, so I'll stop now. Obama's a socialist. Romney's an Etch-a-Sketch. Great choices we have.
Want to have Jim's babies?
Well, I'll give this little cookie an hour before we're doing the no pants dance.
Send him an email at jim@minorleagueradio.com.
On to weightier subjects. As the Minor League Radio podcast continues, tops at the box office this week, The Human Centipede, full sequence. No, that's just tops in my heart. Actually, The Hunger Games kicked complete ass, like it had 10 legs at the box office this weekend. You know, I feel like I should care. You know, kind of like I feel like I should be smoking more weed, but I just don't. It is impressive, though. 152 million plus. People apparently love to watch hot teens whacking other hot teens. I think it's a latent symptom of our country's addiction to porn. But that's just me. So the rest of the top five this weekend. Number two, 21 Jump Street. I want to see this. I've heard it's actually really funny. Number three, The Lorax. I'm positive that they completely fucked up one of my favorite childhood books, so I am not going to check that one out. In at number four at the box office over the weekend, John Carter. Okay, I'm not sure what Disney was thinking with this one. They spent $250 million on this flick. A quarter of a billion. And they call it John Carter. Wow. Makes me want to see it. They would have been better off calling it Murray Lefkowitz. This movie is based on a series of novels by Edgar Rice Burroughs, who did bring us Tarzan, but he isn't exactly a household name anymore. So it stands to reason that the protagonist of his lesser-known Martian novels wouldn't be enough to pack the seats. Eye candy just isn't enough anymore, you know. God, I should be running a movie studio, not wiping asses for a living. Anyway, number 5, Act of Valor. This is smart movie making. It's the one that features real-life Navy SEALs. Anyway, it's smart movie making. They spent like 50 cents to make this, and it's made $62 million so far. That is how you do it.
MinorLeagueRadio.com.
Break yourself, fool!
MinorLeagueRadio.com.
All right, on to some goofy shit. Deborah Yvette Parker is accused of killing her common-law husband after allegedly shooting him during a sex game that they call Dirty Cowboy. Well, who hasn't been in that position? The 38-year-old woman faces manslaughter charges, a prosecutor tells the Houston Chronicle. Quote, she did admit to being in possession of the handgun and using it as a toy during foreplay with the victim's acquiescence and a request for it to be used in that manner. Love to be on the fly on the wall. I mean, imagine that. It's like, yeah, come on, baby. Come on. Where are you going to put that gun? Yeah, you know where you're going to put that gun. You know where you're going to, yeah, but you know where you're going to put that gun. Yeah, come here and put that gun right where it needs to be, baby. The safety is on, isn't it?
Mommy said, and Daddy said,
The Minor League Radio podcast continues. Jason Bacon, age 41, was arrested in Eureka, California in March after responding to a classified ad for a used motorcycle by offering to trade about $8,000 worth of his homegrown hydroponic marijuana for it. According to an officer on the scene, Bacon told a deputy, I know you can't sell it, but I thought it was okay to trade it. Can't fix stupid, as Ron White says. And in February, a 41-year-old man in a pond in Gosport, England, apparently suffered an epileptic seizure while feeding swans in water about 3 feet deep. Firefighters were called, but the first one to arrive remained on shore, explaining that he had been trained only for ankle-deep water and would have to await a colleague trained in, quote, chest-high water. Okay. And in July 2011, a man committed suicide in San Francisco Bay by wading into neck-deep water and remaining until he died of hypothermia. That takes some willpower right there, my friends. Firefighters from the city of Alameda watched from shore because they lacked water rescue training. In neither situation was it proved that the victim would have survived if rescued sooner. Yep, tax dollars at work right there. And on that cheery note, how about some Arch Matthäus? Well, that'll do it for another stellar edition of the Minor League Radio Podcast. Thank you for listening. It won't be another month for the next one. Leave your comments at MinorLeagueRadio.com or send me an email, Jim@MinorLeagueRadio.com. Subscribe on iTunes if you are so inclined. If you like the podcast, tell a friend. If you hate it, tell an enemy. Once again, thanks for listening. Until next time, sayonara.